Let's roll. This is Countercharge, your podcast for ranks, flanks, and kings of war. Join your hosts as they delve into the world of Panathar and bring you worldwide coverage of all things Kings of War.
Welcome to Countercharge. I'm Rob Fanuff.
And I'm Matt Croger.
And I'm Jeremy Duvall. Really excited to be back for January Fireside.
Let's slide into the community update, Jeremy, and start us off with, I know all the master stuff going on is just intense right now.
Yeah, tons and tons of stuff. As of now, we have released our official logo. We got some logo and branding done specific for our tournament, which we're really excited about. It was really fun building that with the artist who did it for us. We went through a lot of revisions of just going back and forth, finding something that would work for us. We're also getting to ready to launch what we're calling the Master's Minute. So we're going to be each month releasing a newsletter that's going to be put in all the groups on Facebook and on the Master's website. And the idea of the newsletter is often people are like, oh, you know, where do I go? How do I do this? Or, you know, where is there to eat? Or so each issue of our newsletter is going to focus, it's going to be a one page, really easy to digest, and it's going to focus on a different aspect of Masters. So we're going to be previewing things, talking logistics, and just kind of having those come out once a month just to continue to keep the hype level up for Masters. So our first issue of the Masters Minute is going to be coming out here middle of January, and it's going to have the codes for hotel registration. So if you want to go ahead and get your hotel registered, it will have the links to go ahead and do that. It will also have links and suggestions around airport travel. So everything will be put into that newsletter. We'll also talk a little bit about the mission, vision, values of our tournament. What are we hoping to achieve as a tournament committee? Where are we coming from? So stay tuned for that issue. You'll be able to book your hotel, whether you think you're going to make Masters or you're going to come to Best of the Rest. So you're coming right no matter where you end up in the tournament itself. And in the future episodes, we're going to be releasing snippets about local restaurants. We'll have a preview of all our trophies. We'll talk a little bit about all the streaming information, what we have planned for that Friday night. Just a way to keep everyone updated on what we have planned for Masters and just to keep everything excited. You know, we've been working a lot behind the scenes, developing, getting our terrain ready, getting our prize support ready, getting ready for all like the sort of extras, right? The secret sauce of what we're going to be adding to Masters. So I'm really excited. It's interesting, though, because as you know, as a TO, running a big event like that, it's a lot of work. So a lot of my hobby time is sort of going towards that. So it's very interesting to be working on master stuff, but not testing lists as much because I won't be playing, obviously, because I'm going to be helping to run the event. So it's like kind of like a different take this year, where it's no longer thinking about, okay, I got to make sure I qualify. Am I getting my games in? What lists am I going to take? And instead, that energy and focus has turned out to how do I make an event that people will have a lot of fun? How can we make an event? It's a group effort. How can we make an event as a region to really make things excited for people? Also, Riddle of Steel is just around the corner. It's going to be President's Day weekend in February. So Rashad's getting ready, getting the hot tub turned up at the Holcomb House. We're going to be doing signups for that. If you haven't heard, Riddle of Steel is our sort of bespoke, I would say narrative, because it has narrative elements, but it sort of straddles that space between narrative and competitive Conan-themed tournament that's held at Scott Holcomb's house. We have a lot of interest this year, so I'm pretty sure we will sell out. I think probably we're looking at between 20 and 24 players. We can fit about 12 tables in Scott's house, give or take. So if you're interested in that, reach out to Rashad on Facebook. He'll be setting up all the invites and getting that ready. So that I will be playing in. So excited for that. And then, yeah, so it's just that. And then just getting the region ready for Masters is sort of our really big, you know, our big thing this year. What about your neck of the woods? What have you guys been up to?
Yeah, I actually just made a trip over to Arkansas. I hadn't played with those guys in a little while, so I went to Jonesboro, Arkansas this past weekend with Andy, and we got to meet up with Dylan and some folks. You know, it's nice to play some games with some of the guys that live maybe like an hour and a half away. So that was really cool. I guess just in terms of just general information, You know, we did get Countercharge podcast episodes now on our YouTube channel. So if you're interested, from the episode with Ray Shields and List Builder onwards, they will be on the Countercharge YouTube page. We will get the back catalog on as well. We didn't want to dump 750 plus episodes and make a mess of the YouTube channel. So kind of working through how we're going to add those on later. So Adepticon registration opens up on January 12th. Don't forget, if you're into Halo, they got you covered. Jeremy, have you looked at the calendar? What are you playing?
I have looked at the calendar. It's always the epic question with Adepticon, right? How much do you plan and how much do you leave open to have the weekend of to decide? So as of right now, I'm planning on just signing up for Adepticlash, which is the Kings of War tournament over the weekend. I am interested in the pairings tournament. That's pretty, you know, interesting, but I may try to get some MCP in, you know, the first part leading into the weekend. So we'll see. Or, you know, Adepticon's always fun to be at Adepticon and not be playing in an event, you know? So, but as of right now, I'm still kind of delving into what I want to do, but definitely going to do Adepticlash over the weekend.
So in terms of Kings of War, on Thursday, they've got Kings of War Ambush. And they also have Kings of War Armada. Those are both happening roughly the same time on Thursday. And I am going to be playing in Armada. I love Armada. It's just a great game. And then Friday, we have the Kings of War pairings event, which we've had an episode with Blake and Adam about. Just a really cool idea, and I can't wait to play in that. And then, like you, I'll be playing in Adepticlash on Saturday and Sunday. I'm surprised, though, Jeremy, you're not saying I would like to play in the firefight that's happening on Thursday.
You know, I think I am. That one I missed somehow. I didn't see that, and I know that we had talked about it. So I probably will definitely do the firefight tournament on Thursday. That's like my guaranteed once a year I get a chance to play firefight is at Adepticon. So I got to look at the points and see if I need to add anything to my Dark Fathers for my Forge Father army. Last year, I added a couple of the biker guys. So I got to take a look at points and see if I want to. Maybe I'll add a tank, or it gives me an excuse. I usually add one thing to the Forge Fathers army each year for firefight. And that's my speed paint slap chop style army. I'll take a look and see what I want to add for that. And then I think I probably should get a demo game. I haven't played Halo at all yet. So I probably should try to get a game in of that maybe over the weekend, get Blake to give me a demo. Speaking of Halo, there are a lot of Halo events scheduled, which makes sense. You know, there's a lot of people are playing that game, loving that game, but that's crazy how many Halo events they have set up.
I think they're basing this on the sales, right? The sales have been through the roof for Halo. So I'm assuming there's a lot of people out there that are playing it and loving it. I know I've played it a few times, and it's a lot of fun. I really am. This year, with the move to Milwaukee, I really just want to kind of go in and not overcommit to a bunch of stuff. I want to be able to have time to enjoy the new venue and to get the lay of the land and just really maybe get some more podcasting in. I have been looking at my piles of opportunity, or my garage of opportunity, I should say. It's a little excessive. I'm a little bit like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to get through all this stuff. I say that I'm going to have self-restraint, but that'll go out the window as soon as I get there.
As it always does. I'm not going to spend that much money this year. Wrong.
Like I said, I went to play in Arkansas this past weekend, and that store called Gamers Haven in Jonesboro, Arkansas, big shout out to them, awesome store. They had stocked a lot of stuff that you don't see at typical game stores, like Gamers Grass and Green Stuff World and that kind of thing.
Oh.
So I was able to buy some pretty cool stuff that, you know, we don't have here. Other community news, there is the Northwoods Grand Tournament happening on January 18th and 19th. So when you hear this, there's just a little bit of time left to get signed up, but it's in Reedsburg, Wisconsin, 2,300 points. I will have a link to the signups in the show notes. And then next, we also have the Kings of Memphis 5 coming up June 21st through 22nd, 2025. It's new player friendly. It's going to be 2,025 points just because I like different point levels. You get a free bard character. We are playing with command dice. We are not playing with withdrawal or allies. And registration is going to be opened up soon. So, Matt, what's been going on in your community?
We've all been just getting ready for Clash of Kings Australia. We're punching out a massive amount of terrain. We painted about 14 bits of impassable terrain the other day. Got about another 14 or so to go and a whole bunch of obstacles. Been going nuts and trying to organize all the funds going to different places for the firefight tournament and everything. But, yeah, otherwise it's just been pretty much holiday mode for a lot of people, I think. You know, not a lot going down in terms of tournaments and whatnot.
And so I imagine that's pretty much all your hobby updates as well.
Yeah, well, I've done 3/4 of my firefight list. So I've almost ticked off my first hobby goal for the year.
Well, this is what I got to ask you, Matt, because I know you played Firefight for the first time. What was your like initial feedback?
I really enjoyed it. I think there's a few things that seem a bit too much keyword chainy, like, you know, not unlike the what they did with the salamanders, like Inferno keyword goes to this keyword. But the best stuff in Firefight is where it goes, this rule means that this type of keyword, like trademark, right, you know, gives you X. I can really see what it is likely that the command die system will look like for Kings, because to me, I look at it and basically, for those that don't know, Firefight has what I call a tiered command system, which is you've got your generics, you've got your faction ones that any unit can use as long as it's within a commander, and then you've got your ones your commander can pass out if they've got it. And the command is tied to them and the dice are tied to different commanders. I see no reason why that wouldn't port to Kings in a rewrite of the rules. And I think that would be excellent and an easy way to impart flavor compared to what we've got. And what I imagine would happen is a whole bunch of the auras would disappear and maybe a bunch of keywords would disappear as well. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think I'll quite had a few key learnings, Jeremy, like, you know, don't charge something that's got low armor into, don't assault something that can they can shoot as you're going into it. Otherwise, it might not make it into combat, which my Reapers did not make it into combat. They died on the way in. No, I really enjoyed it. I think it'll be great fun playing the tournament. And I can certainly see what would make sense to port to Kings in a good way.
Well, awesome. Now that we're into the hobby updates, Jeremy, what have you been working on?
A lot of stuff. Really busy with hobby. As we record this, I'm going to LVO next week with Jeff Swan to do a little MCP. So I have one more model to finish out my roster of 10 X-Men, and that's Magic. I would love to get that finished probably this weekend. And then I have finished for my Kings of War. I've finished my Snow Troll Prime. I am now halfway through painting my ice elemental test model, and I'm going for on the ice elementals that sort of non-metal metallic, they're not metallic obviously, but doing that high reflective
where you can see the reflection of the environment back into it.
Yeah, so I think it's coming along pretty good. It's just time consuming, but you know, this is, again, I want to have a nice army, so I'm working on that. Oh, and then I started doing the base for the ice elemental horde that I'm working on. I'm about done with that. So once I finish this last X-Men, then it's going to be full-blown Northern Alliance. And then also, obviously, Masters, right? You know, we're working on the swag, designing logos, you know, those. So there is a lot of hobby time going into that. Really excited to round out the X-Men. And it's going to be really nice to have like a completely finished faction for a game. You know, I'll have my 10 X-Men in that game. You never use the whole faction. It's like a sideboard. You pick from it what you use. So with those 10 models, I have a lot of different variation to play that faction. I'll be good with that, and then I'll go full bore into Kings of War and Northern Alliance. What about you? What have you been up to?
Well, a lot of terrain, painting up a few tables of terrain for the shop just for weekly use. Still working on the table for our buddy Chase. So I've 3D printed some stuff out and been working on that. And then recently, I've just started working with Dan Kamek on our BCB army. Really going in over the deep end in terms of basing.
Oh, looking great. It's looking really cool.
It's been super fun and really excited. We'll be sharing some picks here once we get some units finished up, but we'll see. We're running out of time. We only got like 6 weeks left. I'm like, and I haven't started painting any of the models. I've got all the basing about 75% done, but I'm a little nervous. Should be a lot of fun. BCB is just a great event. Really a lot of fun. Love hanging out with those guys.
Nice.
So next up, let's get into feedback and engagement. And first off, just a quick reminder, please give us feedback wherever you're getting the podcast. That helps other people find the show. So in terms of your feedback, Apple Podcast, we got one from Sean M7765. He says, I don't play the game anymore, but I still enjoy listening to this informative podcast and following the game. Thanks, Sean, for the feedback. I'm curious how many folks out there are also not actively playing Kings of War, but still, you know, listening to our content. I know that we have an intention of making some of our content, you know, fairly universal and applicable to, you know, really any game system. So I would love, if you're on the Facebook group and you're one of those people that don't really play Kings of War, but just like our content, we'd love to hear about that. And next up, we have Jats from Down Under. He says, love the variety of episodes, tactics, lists, and what's going on in the hobby, interview stories, how-tos, etc. I don't listen to all the episodes because all the subjects don't appeal to me, but there is enough regular content of stuff that does. I am listening pretty much every week, a group of volunteers doing the Lords of Abyss work. You know, thanks, Jats, for the comment. And, you know, you hit the nail on the head, Jats, that, you know, our intention is we don't do multi-subject or multi-topic episodes typically. We do one-off episodes so that when you see the episode title, you can go, you know what, I'm really not into list building, or I'm really not into an army review, and you can just use your time more wisely. So I look forward to his next installment next December when we do the next Christmas present for the gamer episode.
I just listened to that that was one episode I hadn't quite got to, and I listened to that this week. I had to commute into the office extra this week, and it was a great episode.
Well, let's jump over to Podbean. First, I think we got Ian here. This is thanks for a great year of content. No, thank you for the comment. Then we got a comment from Big Guns. And as soon as I saw Big Guns, I knew right away that was Matthew from North Carolina. He says, simply the best Mindtick podcast. While focusing on Kings of War, the hosts offer a wide variety of hobby adjacent topics and wonderful interview panels to get multiple perspectives on the game. I've had the pleasure to meet Rob in person. I don't know if that's really a pleasure. My wife would beg to differ.
Enough.
He is truly a paragon of support for Mantic, and I hope that as the company grows, they tap on the wide range of individuals that they have continued to grow the game and expand their social media influence. Keep up the amazing work, Countercharge Gang, Matthew Big Guns. We had Matthew on back in 2023 to talk about his event, the Carolina Cryptid, when I met him at Best of the Rest in 2024. Big Guns is an understatement, dude. This guy had some guns. Like, you know,
packing some heat.
He was packing some heat. Well, next, let's jump over to Spotify. And we have a comment from Little Sapper. First off, thank you for the podcast. It's been great to have the Army Reviews, List Builder Studio, etc. In the past, there's been more of a focus on building community and discussing the new player and tournament experience. More recently, the discussion seems to focus on how we can grow the game by growing Mantic. I don't believe it's our responsibility to grow Mantic. They need to provide us products we want to buy. Thanks for the feedback, Little Sapper. You know, speaking for myself, as a community steward, growing the community is always in the back of my mind. But I'd be curious to do a poll and see how many folks have that same desire to see the community grow. Because I wondered if there's some folks that have built-in gaming groups with like little external interaction with the wider Kings of War community that probably wouldn't even see a change if the community grew. In our community building series, we have been covering all the different stakeholders and the roles they play to grow and develop the Kings of War community. And we will actually be tackling Mantic games directly in the future. You know, from my end, to grow Kings of War, it's really about having engaged stakeholders. That includes the players, the friendly local gaming stores, the clubs, and Mantic games. For Mantic games, I don't think it's as much about growing Mantic as they have repeatedly demonstrated they're growing just fine. You know, Halo has been an amazing hit for them, and who knows what will happen with Assassin's Creed, which that knocked me over.
Yeah.
But by supporting Mantic, and more importantly, your friendly local gaming store, you communicate that there is a demand for Kings of War. You know, in response to that support, we get things like new models, new supplements, advertising, organized play kits, prize supports for events, places to play in local leagues. All of that helps to grow the community. So support game companies and your friendly local gaming stores because they provide products and services you enjoy and are actively using, not because you feel you have to.
In growing a community or growing any sort of hobby, I don't think there's any one element that is most important or least important, right? There's lots of different things go together. So when I think about community, it's not just like, what am I doing? It's like, okay, I'm going to do my best. But then also, you know, players need to show up. Mantic needs to make cool models and fun games. You know, it's all those things, like all these separate threads that weave out the tapestry of a thriving and vibrant gaming community. And I think focusing on what do you have agency over, right? I don't have agency over what Mantic does. I don't have agency over what other game stores do. I have agency over what I do. So the most I can do is to try to be a positive, you know, are we as a show to try to help build our community, create fun content for you guys, because that's what we have direct control over. In the end, companies are going to do what companies do. So I try to, in that dialogue around frustrations of things outside my control, I try to turn the volume down on that, right? Turn that down and then turn up what I can do to 11, right? What can I do? I can paint models. I can try to run awesome tournaments. I can try to connect with people, bring people together. I think that's really, I don't know if that resonates with you at all. That's to me where I've found to be able to be positive, energized, and forward thinking without getting upset and frustrated as much about what other people do or don't do, is try to focus on, well, what do you have control over? And then try to make a difference in that arena, as opposed to lament or be frustrated about things that are so outside my orbit that there's nothing I can do to the effect to affect the gravity around those things.
Yeah, I mean, we could certainly try to influence things that are not in our agency, right? But that's all we can do, is we can speak our mind, and we can, buying or not buying from Mantic is one way to influence that, right? But the reality is, to your point, like you, I do focus on what I can control, right? When a company makes cool stuff, I buy it. When they don't make cool stuff, I don't buy it.
The more that I think about it, and as we engage, and you had that great interview with Horner, right? We really got to be connected to our local game store. If you want to say what's the secret sauce, it's really that, is find your local game store. Get to know the owner. Always think about, when you're going to buy a product, can I buy it from my local game store? And then you got to start asking yourself these questions, right? If something is 5% cheaper or 10% cheaper online, yet you're going to the game store to play all the time, what if, would you, let's say that game store closed, would you have been happy to pay 5% more on a product to have a clubhouse and a place to go? So I guess that's one of the things I would try to really propose, is build those relationships with your local game store. I know the Caboose, the Loose Caboose, is they're thinking about maybe getting a new space or updating their store. And it's so exciting to see the community just be like, oh, okay, if you need help moving, let us know. And like anything that I need, I always tell Brian, and he's like, okay, let me see if I can get it for you. And then it's like, perfect example, you do that, so that when the thing that comes out a couple months from now that's super hot that no one has, he's going to save some for me, right? So it's all about building those relationships. So I guess that would be one thing that we really need to do, is just support our local stores.
When we have these discussions, it sometimes does gravitate towards Mantic. And I think it's less about Mantic. And to your point, it's about the game store.
Yep.
Ultimately, if you're buying Mantic products from the game store, you're also helping Mantic Games. But in my mind, that's the secondary benefit, right? The primary one is, you know, this is my third place. This is my public place, my safe space where I go and publicly play Kings of War. And so I'm going to fully support my store.
I'll go to him and say, like, I know he won't carry something, but I'll be like, hey, do any of your distributors have X, Y, or Z? Because I'd rather buy it from you than buy it from someone else. Like, maybe even if you don't have it, let me get, can you get it?
I got a good example. I just went to Gamers Haven in Jonesboro to play with the guys in Arkansas. Honestly, I didn't need any Mantic product. Right? I have a garage full. I bought some stuff. You know, it was other stuff that's adjacent. So, you know, it helped the gaming store. And also, we were there playing Kings of War in a place that maybe there's not a lot of Kings of War players, but it says to the store owner that, hey, there is an audience there. It might be small. Keep stocking it. Keep trying, you know, and keep trying to grow the community, because ultimately I think it'll pay off in the long run. So anyways, Little Sapper, thanks for the comment. I love those kind of comments because it's
thought-provoking.
For some reason, when I read his comment and I gave it a thought, I started thinking about the Ninth Age. You remember that game?
The thing about fan-driven games.
Yeah.
And I say this with no ill will towards people playing Ninth Age or War, just as a general topic. It's very difficult to maintain momentum and interest in a game. I mean, you're always going to have them at certain events, right? Like at Adepticon, there's War Gods of Egyptus tournaments, you know? Yeah. At those type of places, you're always going to have some. But if you're looking for a pickup game on a local Wednesday or whatever at a new game store, it's difficult to grow those games or keep those games going that don't have any store support.
Well, it's accessibility, right? Say what you want about GW games, but they're accessible in pretty much every friendly local gaming store in the United States, right?
Perfect example, Rob. They started a combat patrol league at the Loose Caboose. First night, they have 12 people. You know what I mean? Just out of nowhere, you say 40K and they sprout up, you know, that everyone shows up. So it just shows you that even in smaller stores, that is the brand that everyone knows.
I think when we talk about, I'm going to call them dead games or games that are independent. Like, yeah. I think the trials and tribulations that they're going through, I think we can learn something and apply that back to Kings of War. In some ways, we share some of those same issues, right? We don't have the overwhelming accessibility that a GW has.
Yes.
You know, I think that's probably a future topic for us to dive in and maybe explore that.
That's a really interesting idea, because it's how do you grow a game and game system that's not as prevalent in the zeitgeist, right? And I think that's what a lot of these game systems that are fan driven have to do, right? How do I get my game out there when you can't go to the store and buy it, which is often the case with Kings of War. So maybe there is some successes we can learn from those game systems. And I always go down to what you say, Rob, there's a game for everyone and everyone for a game. So even though Kings of War is our main squeeze and our main game, this podcast is never going to poo-poo on anyone's Cheerios saying, don't play your game sucks. You know what I mean? It's more of like, tell me about what you love about your game, and then maybe we can get that going in the game that we love.
Well, let's jump into some Mantic news, because there's a lot going on with Mantic lately. First up, they've gotten lots of emails and videos about all this great terrain stuff, and I've been loving the new mats they put out. And don't forget that the Vanguard Fantasy Skirmish is still going on My Mini Factory, and it's similar to the Armada one they had, but, you know, you're going to get access to the digital rule books. You're going to get access to a bunch of STL files for probably the best Kings of War line of models that Mantic makes. Chef's kiss. And then they've also sweetened the pot by giving you access to a lot of really cool skirmish specific terrain bits like walls and stuff to play the various scenarios. So if you're into that, please do. As of today, they've raised almost $17,000. So with 183 backers. So Halo, we don't even really have to talk about it. It's killing it.
Yeah.
Jeremy, what the hell is this Kings of War Champions I'm hearing about?
Yeah, so new game. It looks like they bought the Goblin King himself, Rob Berman, back to work on it. We're in talks with Mr. Berman and the Mantic folks to get him on to do a preview. So no spoilers yet, but stay tuned as we're hopefully going to have an episode with that soon going over everything. I think it's exciting. Anything new in the Kings of War universe is always cool. So I'm really excited to get Rob on. Friend of the show, you know, we've had him on multiple times. Really cool dude, really into the hobby. And I know he had worked for Mantic and then went and got a real job. And then as soon as you out, they pull you back in.
That's
so
right.
They got him back in. So yeah, we're going to hopefully have him on soon.
Awesome. And if you haven't seen it, Mantic put out a great video what they have in store for 2025 with a lot of teasers. Kings of War Champions is one of them, but Dreadball All-Stars. No idea what this is, but, you know, I'm sure the Dreadball fanatics out there are chomping at the bit to hear something about Dreadball, because that was one of their very first games a million years ago. An Epic Warpath is not too far out. And the one that caught me and knocked me down was Assassin's Creed. All it showed was a logo, you know, in a picture of the character. I have no idea, but it's got my wheels spinning, Jeremy. Like, are we going to see like a carnival style game in the Assassin's Creed universe using the Dead Zone system? I can see where 3-inch towers in this small little footprint could work for Assassin's Creed. So, or maybe it's a board game. You know, I don't know. You got any speculation there?
Trying to think about it. It makes sense in how they've done their other properties. Maybe a board game, or maybe Mantic really starts in looking at the success of Halo. Maybe they start continuing to build more games a la that, right? Which it's not quite a board game, but not on launch a fully fleshed out war game, but creating this sort of living in this sort of space in between where it's a board game, but yet it's bringing elements from Dead Zone or elements from a miniatures game and then building on it down the road. Because I know that they've done really well with Halo, so maybe they want to continue that sort of, maybe that's a great space for them to become really the industry leader in that sort of in-between space, you know, like Zombicide or other games like that, which are miniature games / board games. I mean, that would be like my initial guess.
No inside baseball here, but I am really eager to see. I really hope it's a war game, right? I really hope it's a war game. I have watched people locally play Carnival, and I thought, man, it looks so cool. But I don't know if I have the headspace to go into another game and learn like a complete new rule system from the ground up, get all new terrain and stuff. If they're able to take Dead Zone like they did with Halo and apply Assassin's Creed to it, like, count me intrigued. So I am super eager to see what they've got cooking.
I'm really excited for Epic Warpath. I know you can still do late pledges, I think. So if you haven't pledged, on there. Take a look at the late pledge. That's going to be one that I'm going to be really interested in just when that comes out.
And next, let's jump into the Mantic Vault offering for January. And guys, I will say this is probably my favorite month in a long time. Now, to be fair, it's because I am a fan of Kings of War. I dabble in Vanguard, and I am a huge fan of Armada. And this hits me on all the feels. But what say you? I think this is a banner month.
I think it's great. So we've got some Forces Abyss in there, Despoiler Champ, little characters. One of the characters riding a horse.
The Heliquin.
It's an option if you don't want to do a use their old generic base alien horse that you can, you know, you could print those out in monopose or switch them around a little bit and use them as the cavalry in the Abyssals.
Yeah, and I think that's the STL file of the horsemen that they had in the Vanguard box, right?
Yes.
Didn't that guy used to come in PVC?
Correct.
Yeah, so I think that's great. And that, man, the ships are cool, aren't they? Like the one that's got the three skeleton heads. Oh, so nice.
And I'm a huge Armada fan, and for me to see another exclusive 3D print faction, right? Like our fleet, I guess. This time Forces of the Abyss. And what is that little bit there? Is that like a Well of Souls or something up there on the right?
Yeah.
That is cool. Cool that they're still supporting that they're supporting that game, right? Through the vault. You know, that they can continue to support some of their game systems by using the vault as the main platform for that. I think that's great.
If I was maybe not beat down over my goals from last year, I would maybe even say, well, maybe I should paint up a Forces of the Abyss fleet for Adepticon, but I already know that ship's not going to happen. So I'm going to stick with my Abyssal Dwarves for Adepticon.
No sailless Kingdoms of Men this year? You're going to bring your Abyssal Dwarves?
Well, they don't have sails either.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
They're propelled by magic.
The new Kingdoms of Men faction from Mantic, which is digital only, they've replaced all the old Warlord stuff. So they have their own faction now with like a balloon. And so I don't know, like, I kind of feel like, damn, I have this old version. It's like I have the old goblins and now the new goblins came out. You know what I mean? I'm like, ah, this looks terrible.
Oh, you're going to disappoint the guy. There was a guy I saw on the thread, Rob, asking, are those sails in the right place? I don't know if that would be able to move or something like that. And I was like, well, now we should have just said, typed a comment, talk to Rob for Nuff. You know, his ship's move without sails.
The Black Sea stuff from Warlord, they have paper sails with like actual like rope, like thread rigging. I'm like, I'm not messing with all that, bro. Come on. Come on. This is like 1/700 scale. I'm not messing with that. Come on. But yeah, banner month. Some of those individual Forces of the Abyss models I've never seen before. So I think there's some special stuff in there that they have not released before.
I forgot when we talked about the Vanguard section, the obelisk in there I've printed out for Clash of Kings people because it's actually weirdly in two halves and I printed a whole bunch of them and they can use them as little steps to prop up the units. So I've given everyone like four of them and they stand up quite well. You know, I looked at that when I backed it and I was like, oh, what of this could I use for something like that? And with that, we'll take a break and we'll be back with our topic of the month.
I'm Justin Robbins, the real Paragon from the 2024 Masters, and this is Countercharge.
And welcome back. This month, we decided to delve into, do you hobby alone or do you prefer to hobby socially? You know, which the hobbying socially was a bit of the genesis of After Dark, wasn't it, Jeremy?
Yeah, really much, you know, grew out of that Paint an Army in a Weekend, right? Which was everyone getting online to paint together. And then After Dark was sort of the spiritual birth child of that. But it was that idea of, for those people who do like the hobby socially, a platform to encourage that.
Started with socials, ended with nudity.
Basically, with rubber bands, the rubber band man.
So why don't we get into what your comments are straight up, and I can kick us off here. And so Dave Fanning, alone, if I was socially, I'd get nothing done. I mean, there's the other thing for Dave that, you know, he'd have to find a couple of friends somewhere. So, you know, you can Uber or something, Dave, if you need to.
Next, we got a friend of the show, Mr. Felix Castro, who says socially because I am not a serial killer, winky wink, which Mike Rossi, our man, responds, your basement would say otherwise. If you've been on After Dark or online painting with Felix, he does paint in a serial killer's basement.
The murder basement. So next up, we have Josh Edwards. He says, recently, I've been more alone, but with only a few times of doing it socially. I would say it's fun either way because I can sit for hours painting nonstop. With socially, I think I will sometimes do more than I would without it doing something else. So I think what Josh is alluding to is that when you are engaged in doing it socially, I think sometimes you might go be able to go for a longer session because you've got, you know, some small talk and you're chit-chatting and you're kind of hanging out.
The next one is John Paul Fuller Jackson. And you're right, John, I'm already giggling before I say it. I hobby almost exclusively with my wife. Not a euphemism, but I know Matt Croger will have a giggle. We watch series to wind down, but we are both incapable of just sitting and watching. So I assemble or paint minis and she cross-stitches. It's not the best for getting painting or series watching done, but it's better than doing neither. Side effect is each King's unit has a series linked to it in my brain. My Abyssal Horsemen were painted while watching The Last Kingdom. Uhtred, son of Uhtred. Ah, oh, well, that was a cracking. That was a. He should. I wish there was the theme in his models. That was a good show.
Is John Paul Fuller Jackson, is that the
Caffeinated Warlord? Yep.
No, okay. Yeah, I like his show because I knew it used to be together with his wife who would do all the sewing.
Correct.
Stuff.
Yes.
So that,
yeah.
I thought that was. Yeah. Well, keep doing the videos. I like watching his videos. Next, we got Tom King. He says, hobby alone, game socially, like any normal self-respecting nerd.
Next, we have Jonathan Walk. He says, why not both? Solo is usually a grind for me, but social is usually less efficient. I can crank out a batch of painting with a good podcast or rewatch of something. Mythbusters is my latest go-to. But there are a few things better for hobby mojo than sitting around a table with friends. 100%. He's talking about like in person. That'd be really crazy awesome.
And then we've got Steve Evans. Spend most evenings painting while my missus watches the TV. Have a painting area in the living room. Also do a Thursday night paint and chat with a couple of friends. So both for me, really.
Mr. Page Neo, hobby alone, or you can always find Page on After Dark Discord.
Next, we got Mark Zelinsky. Both. I love to hobby and chat, but normally end up doing hobby alone. After Dark for the win.
He hobbies in a murder basement as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does have a little bit of a murder basement.
Yeah, he does. He used to own a game store. It's like that last scene in Indiana Jones where they have the giant warehouse.
Yeah.
Oh, who knows what he's got down there?
When he's painting, I'm looking in the background and I'm like, what is that box? What is that box? And it's some obscure GW model from like 1993.
I thought he was actually chained up there most of the day. Yeah. So next up, we have Christian Moisan. No hobby for me. Sorry to hear that, Christian.
He doesn't hobby at all. I think he just pays somebody to paint his models.
If you can, you can.
But you know what he does do? He brings delicious maple syrup to Adepticon every year.
That is true. From the Great White North. From the French-speaking Great White North, right? Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. I am from Quebec.
Yes, you will tell these mini games. Billy Capgun, I definitely do serial killer hobby alone in silence. It's nice to paint in silence. Other times I listen to music or chat with folks.
Next up, we got Ben Stoddard. I suck at hobbying in a group. I get distracted with conversations and get nothing done. Or I get too focused on my hobby and end up blocking everyone else out to the point that I might as well have been doing it alone. At the end of the day, though, both options are worthwhile, but it depends on what the goal of the session is. If it is to build connections with members of my community, then it was a success. If it's to finish my horde of lower abyssals and I get that done, then it's also a success. It is a hobby, and how we choose to enjoy that hobby is always successful regardless of the final outcome. Wise words from author Mr. Ben Stoddard.
Next up, we have Ian Kane, which, speaking of murder basins, wasn't his the murder loft that we only saw half of it?
But he promised he wasn't chaining people off to the left.
No. He posted an extra half later once to prove that he wasn't chaining people down. A large percentage of my hobby is done in 30 to 40 minute bursts between getting home and jumping in the shower, then cooking tea. I pop a podcast or the radio on to let my mind focus entirely on painting. For me, it's an excellent way to unwind and dump the day's cares to one side.
Yeah, great point. David Musgraves likes to hobby solo, mainly as he hates people. So he's living his authentic self.
Tank to tank, alone. I don't need to wrangle a bunch of people to meet in the same place to paint. I save the people wrangling for when I want to play games.
Jeff Bodine. Yeah, I always hobby alone. Put on some rhythmic music or maybe a movie or something and get to work, then game socially.
Jats Turk. I generally hobby alone as I'm doing something else at the same time anyways. My Zen place is with the cricket. This is one of your buddy, right? With the cricket on the TV, family in bed, and I am painting or basing or putting together. I do find, though, with tech these days, I can take photos and really feed off my little group's enthusiasm when it comes to group chats and the like. The monthly painting challenge run in Australia last year was also good for that. Group projects such as terrain for tournaments, a great idea to get together with your buddies, right? Pound out those hills or whatever you need. And the like seems like a good idea for just getting in and contributing to make things I enjoy doing, the tournaments, look better over time. So looking forward to Terrain Day at Matt's for Clash of Kings this year.
So next up we have Kyle Poole. Doesn't matter, as both have value. Need huge progress. Social. Need a tedious bout of freehand, solo, and pop on Stargate. If I need to get stuff done, social would not be the answer for me. If I need to focus and get this stuff done, I'm typically zoned at that point. But 100% though, if you're trying to do freehand, I am not chatting with Paige Neo on After Dark. You know, I've got to focus. I'm not that good at it. So I need all my brain power.
Yeah, I'll say to Kyle, Joppa Cree. I am a Stargate fan myself. But I think what he brings up is interesting is maybe socially or solo, not only is it's your overall, but maybe if you're doing, depending on what you need to do, you know, maybe painting certain types of things in a group is easier. Whereas if you really need to focus, you're going to paint solo. Like if I got to do a bunch of base coating, that's fun to do in a group because you don't really have to focus so much, right? And you can chit chat. Whereas if I'm hyper focused on something really technical, the talking can be distracting. So that's, he brings up an interesting point.
Building models and stuff, totally easy to do socially. But if I'm layering and blending, no, I don't think that's, it's hard for me to chat and to focus on that.
All right, next up we have Zuckerbar Thurtlin. I'm with Rob. Painting is quiet alone time. I can focus and get into my flow state and get stuff done. With others is nice, but I lose my vision and get talking with people, and then I don't meet my hobby session goals. Oh, he's a goal for a session kind of person, Jeremy.
Okay.
What's funny is I hobby a lot out in the garage, and I'll turn my TV on, and my wife just cracks up because I watch like basic TV, right? Like over the air antenna, and I'll be watching like just garbage shows that are I love them to death. Walker, Texas Ranger. Come on, dude.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy.
That reminds me, is just over summer we went on my parents' boat sailing. And there's this little TV and the girls needed some downside and they needed to watch, like they just went down the stairs to watch to watch like ABC Kids, but over free to air, you know, over just the normal aerial. And my daughter was amazed, Florence. She was like, this TV chooses for itself what it wants to put on. She's so used to just streaming everything.
That's awesome.
That is funny.
Yeah.
Next, we have what I call a complete lie, and also, it's a trap! We have Mark Cox saying it would be weird painting models naked next to someone else. That's him trying to dupe you into getting into his hot tub. Do some model painting. I know, you're going to have to show him your didgeridoo when he gets down under there, Mr. Crozier. When the Coxes are going down under.
Well, next up, we have Tom Freeman. He says, hobbying is good for your mental health as a solitary mindfulness technique. Gaming is good for your mental health as a social interaction. Great, great tips.
Good one. Yeah, great quote. Yeah.
Chet Dudik, hobby alone, game socially. Nice and simple there from Chet.
Dwayne Richardson, I owe Dwayne a game on Universal Battle 2. I have not forgotten yet. I hobby alone most of the time, but I really enjoyed After Dark back in the day when we were on the Google Hangout and had people pop in and out, and there was no pressure to talk. It was cool. I'm too old and not technology capable of getting on Discord and really don't know when and if people are there to hobby to answer questions directly. I think I'd prefer to hobby socially, but I'm fine doing my own thing. My other challenge is not having a local scene, which that also doesn't help.
Back in 2016, we did our Kings of War Army Challenge. We probably need to do one of those again. We just do a weekend and we hang out. And for the Luddites out there, maybe that'll be a chance for us to get more people on Discord and get them into the After Dark Hangout.
I think Discord is one of those things that once you learn how to do it, it's really simple, but it is something new. Like I've heard that before from other hobbyists who are like, I just don't want to deal with Discord. But I think once you get in there and use it, it is a pretty easy platform to use. So maybe we can help people, expose people to that in a sort of army in a weekend environment.
So Alex Koo says, with all the voices in my head, I'm never alone.
Is that why he has those pauses? Is because he's listening to the voices in his head tell him things? Is why he
he's
pauses.
Like Gollum.
Yeah.
He's talking to himself.
Yeah. As it gets worse, the pause will be filled with "Shut up, Michael."
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Lost Kuzian episodes. They still exist out there somewhere. I know he's still got episodes somewhere never produced.
And then we've got Mike LaHaye. I've only done group painting in person once. It was a class, and I tried After Dark once. I actually liked both, and I'm thinking if we can get some guys all working at a set time, I would make sure I make time to work on stuff. Like everything else that involves more than one person, the main limiting factor is finding a time that fits for most people and for the participants to commit even when they don't feel like it. Yeah, so Mike's talking about, I guess, formal organization for the social aspect then.
Scott Bradley, I hobby almost exclusively alone. I have young kids who play hockey, and it's a 30 to 40 minute drive to Vancouver to visit my friends. When I do get together with friends, that's when I get my games in. Hobbying alone is the only time I get to myself each week, and it's important, quiet, mindful time where I can zone out, paint, and focus on a job that I like. So again, he's speaking to that meditation, right? That's maybe a little easier when you do alone, where you can just zen out and just totally drift away. Good thoughts from Scott.
Next up, we have the alt father, Russ Barnes. Both for me. Hobby for time to be creative, painting, storytelling, and writing. Also writing campaigns and running tournaments. Social for the camaraderie, tactics, strategies in the game. Social goes outside of the event too. Where else can you find like-minded folks that share as many of the same interests as you? That's a good point, that because we're in this real niche hobby, there's overlap. The Venn diagram, there's probably some overlap into some other areas, whether video games or, you know, movies, whatever, action figures, whatever.
Yeah, for sure. Richard Luke, I think it depends where my mental state is at. At certain times, I just want to zone in on a project and we'll just sit in silence and crack on. But when I'm struggling for motivation and can't focus on what I need to work on, I wish I had a group to socialize with whilst I hobbied. That way the socializing would be the main activity and I could just do a bit of hobby, so at least I'm progressing it. Does After Dark get many UK-based people on these days? I was halfway through that. I was thinking, with After Dark, there is still a room that is dedicated. I haven't got Discord up at the moment, but that is called, I think it's still called After Dark, isn't it?
It's a voice room to hang out and talk.
So basically the idea for anyone that is interested is you join the Discord. Rob can put an invite link in the show notes. And you join the Discord. And if you popped on and went into that room, then people basically know that you're there to have a bit of a chat while you're hobby. And you can either sit there. So for those people that like doing it alone anyway, you can be there and just go alone until you hear someone pop in. Whether many UK people, I think, Rob, what you said was a good idea. If we did a kickstart weekend or day, or if we set a time like Mike LaHaye was asking for, that would be a regular time where a couple of people were happy to go in, then we would know. I think that community would start to build again, because it sounds like there's people that want to do it, but they just don't have people to do it with.
There is like an accountability thing too, right? When you are in a group session, even when it's virtual, right? The fact that, you know, you and I are painting models together, you're sort of checking each other. You know, it's almost like going to the gym, right? Like showing up is the first step. Painting models is the second step. Yeah, there's certainly something to be said with that. Next, we got Matthew Selleck. He says, hobby alone. Maybe a few messages here and there, but largely alone so I can have some quiet time.
We got the Squirmin Vermin, who... usually alone, but sometimes at the local shop on crafting day. So that's cool. You know, we were talking about that, Rob, that in person, going to your local store and hanging out and doing hobby.
So next up, we have Matthew Temple. I hobby alone. That's not true. Your daughter's always with you. I hobby alone, but I miss the social hobby. I used to do paint nights with my friends, and I really miss that. Well, Matt, your wish is our command. Maybe we'll get that going again.
And then we have Scott Bradley. I hobby alone pretty much exclusively. I only get out gaming with my friends once in a while. So when we're out, we're getting games in. Hobby is a chance for some peace and quiet from a busy family life to get some projects done and fill up my bucket.
We got Nick Brooks. I mostly hobby alone, as that's my zen time to unwind and not think about anything else but the brush and the models in front of me. That being said, I'm not opposed to group hobby if it helps get other army project done so that my local hobby group continues to grow.
That's the end of your comments for this month. We didn't really touch on ours. Like, Rob, I know you're a solo hobbyer preferential kind of guy.
Most of the time I'm by myself. It's almost like that Dr. Frankenstein out in the laboratory. My favorite thing to do is, like, I don't really have a plan. I just know I need to do, like, I need to build some bases or something. And so I'm just going to go out there and I'm just going to start throwing stuff on the table and cut and make a huge mess. Chaotic. It's really hard to have conversations when you're trying to do that. Like, cause you're sort of in your head, you know, I'm a little bit like Alex. I've got like this one person going, this is too sloppy or this isn't really what we need, you know? So I don't know. I do tend to hobby alone most of the time, but you know, if I am sitting down and just to build models or something, I'm happy to have a social one. And I think we should jumpstart After Dark with maybe picking a night or a time, you know, and start doing that. And maybe we do another Countercharge army in a weekend or unit in a weekend, because some people can't, you know, there's no way Jeremy paints an army in a weekend. Let's just be frank.
No way.
Unless it's Vanguard and it's 10 models. Maybe that could happen.
How about yourself? What's your preference?
Well, I, you know, coming up in After Dark, I always loved painting with people and still do. What I have found now is in the environment of a family that it's hard to find. I do a lot of where I sit down and paint for 30 minutes and then I get up and go do something and come down, paint for 20 minutes and get up and go do something. Or I'm painting for 30 minutes and then one of the kids needs something or Stacy needs something and I get up. And so I find that's a little harder to do when you're socially painting. I can't just paint. Sometimes I paint straight for many hours, but even during that time, I'm getting up, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm stepping away from my hobby table. So I found I've kind of morphed a little bit more towards hobbying individually. And I just put, I got a TV above my hobby table. So I put on YouTube or watch TV or movies or whatever. So I enjoy both, but I found schedule wise for me, I tend to do more single hobby. What about you, Matt?
Yeah, for similar reasons, I think, you know, I tend to do it alone or early in the morning before anyone's awake or something like that. But the other time I do it is kind of not unlike, who was it back at the start that said, you know, often it'll be with their partner with a TV show on. I think it was John Paul. So that'll tend to be how a lot happens. That might just be an hour or so in an evening. That there's so much going on that even if it is social just with the family, that like I quite like hobbying with them around. So I think the real answer for me is I just like to do a mix of both.
Okay, with that, we'll take a break and we'll come back on the other side and wrap up the show. We'll be right back.
I'm Andy2D6, the Orange Legend, and you're listening to Countercharge. Get ready to charge those counters.
And we are back. So, you know, as a reminder, don't forget ways you can help the show out. Definitely share comments with the community. If you have buddies who aren't listening to the show who love Mantic or love miniature wargaming, you know, just share the show. Continue to give us those reviews. We love being able to share them with the wider audience during these fireside chats. And also it helps people guide them to the show. So definitely, really, we really appreciate every single review we have. And then as far as schedule, Rob, we got a lot coming up for the show.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a Lore Masters Library that we'll record in February for Honor's Price. So we got Mike Rossi coming back to the show, you know, because guys, he doesn't record his own podcast anymore. So we got to get him on more for people to hear his voice. But get reading Honor's Price if you haven't already, and watch out for the post on the Countercharge Facebook group asking for questions. List builders, tons of list builders coming. I actually went and got one player from every region in the United States. And so I'm in the process of collecting those and we'll spread those out over several months. If there's a voice you want to hear in the List Builder studio, please let us know. We're happy to get more. And I know Matt's also got some international voices in the works as well. Probably some Aussies and some Brits coming on as well. And we have more hobby episodes coming to you. You know, Jordan's chomping at the bit to get more of those recorded. And then army reviews. I've got my army review for Forces of Nature set to record on January 18th. We've got Alan Beener and Bryce Clark, two high-end level players. It's going to be a great review. And look for the post on the Facebook group for questions about what you want to know about the Forces of Nature. And I know you got Rorty in the works too, right?
Got the people. I've just over Christmas haven't done the scheduling. So I've got some time allotted to do some scheduling tomorrow. So yeah, we'll get some arsey voices for list builders. We've got that. We'll have some Clash of Kings content. We'll probably do a live stream that will convert to an episode on the lists. Then there'll be some stuff recorded there, particularly because I'll be there for 3 days and two nights this year. There's a good chance we get some solid content there. And then we've got Chris Lynch and Steve Evans organized not with the time yet, but to do their experience on playing all of the factions last year. Yeah, that'll be an interesting one too. So we've got plenty in the works. All right, and so for our next topic of the month for February, and we'll get an image out for that, is and a post. What is your favourite Kings of War tournament scoring system and why? And please head over to our Facebook page if you can to add your response to that. That's where it's easiest for us to collect your comments.
Great question, though. I'm really curious to hear what people have to say about this one.
Well, I already know Matt's answer. It's blackjack.
No. I'm not that bullish. I like variety. I wish there was more variety. I'm quite happy to play under all systems. Yeah. And so with that, do we have any shout-outs? Jeremy, I've seen your excellent logo for Reno Masters being pushed out into the atmosphere. Anything you want to shout-out before we close up?
You know, as I mentioned earlier in the episode, stay tuned for the Masters Minute newsletter. It's going to be coming out every month. Our first one will be coming out here in middle of January. If you're interested in coming to Masters, either you may qualify or best of the rest, and you have any questions at all around logistics, what the experience is like, please reach out to us. The Atlantis Casino is a really great resort. Reno is near Tahoe, which is one of the beautifulest places on the planet. Barrier, California is not that far. So if you've wanted to make a trek out to the West Coast for a vacation/tournament, Masters weekend will really be a great opportunity for that. So if there's anything that we can do to help facilitate that, get you out here, we will do it. So just let us know.
Keep your eyes peeled for Clash of Kings content. Our tickets have closed today, which is obviously well before we release the episode. But yeah, no, that's all from me.
Well, thanks for coming. Stay tuned for the February Fireside Chat. And with that, thanks for listening. And when all else fails, don't forget to countercharge.
Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time on Countercharge. Please let us know what you thought of the show by emailing us at counterchargepodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at countercharge15, or by commenting on the Countercharge Kings of War podcast Facebook group. If you enjoy the show, you can help others find out about it by leaving positive reviews on iTunes. Until next time, keep countercharging. Music is a composition of Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under Creative Commons.